Blog Talk Radio.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for joining me for the first show of 2015. And you are listening to your sister, your friend, your confidant, your teacher and coach, Diane Rosina Jones. And thank you once again for joining me for Becoming Who I Am. I'm excited about the new year. I don't know about you. You should be excited about the possibility of reaching new heights and new levels in your life that you never, ever reached before. Excited about your dreams, your goals, your hopes. Excited about life in general. So I hope that this broadcast finds you excited. I'm so happy for those of you who have joined me for this Sunday morning show, the first show of the new year on a new day and a new time. If you followed us or you've been listening to the show since its inception, which is going to be 3 years this May, then you know, it's going to be 4 years this May. I had to think about it. We started the show May 2011, so no, 3 years this May. I can't add, so I'm looking out the window, though, actually trying to think in my mind what it's going to be. I think I may be distracted by the natural beauty outside, so I may need to just kind of pay attention to what it is I'm saying and get rid of the brain fog. So, either way, those of you who've been with us a while know that the show used to be on Saturday mornings. It was great. It used to be early Saturday mornings, and then we moved to Tuesdays. And now I think I'm going to try this Sunday. I think it gives me a more space to relax prior to the show. It gives me more of an opportunity to get into that place and that space that I actually need to be in order to just really have a great show and listen to what it is that God is saying and allow Spirit to speak and encourage and inspire and motivate and help others. This year also, so I want to say a few things. First of all, let me not get too sidetracked. If you'd like to call in and listen to the show, certainly dial 760-695-5620. The chat room is also open if you'd like to join me in the chat room. If you want to send me a tweet during the show, you know that you can reach me. My handle is DieJones247. Also, on Facebook, if we're friends, Diane Rosina Jones, post a comment on my Facebook page. I'll certainly be reading that during the show. As well, if we're not friends in regards to my personal page, do go to Transforming Life Institute on Facebook or go to the Transforming Life Institute website itself. Sign up to be a VIP member or free subscriber, and that will keep you in the loop on what's going on with Transforming Life this year. Believe me, there are some wonderful things coming out of Transforming Life Institute, one of those being this show. So know that this show, Becoming Who I Am, has been sponsored by Transforming Life this entire time. It is one of the umbrellas under Transforming Life, and there's just some wonderful things coming forward. This year, we're going to enjoy a more structured show, meaning that there are a number of workshops, series, and seminars that I'd like to present throughout the year that actually will make the show a bit more structured, and I think you'll actually enjoy it. So I'm still going to allow Spirit to have its way in regards to that. But I am hoping to present some actual workshops and series this year on the show, which may carry over into live workshops and seminars here in the Atlanta area. So get ready for those. Definitely get ready, get ready, get ready. So I do want to tell you that I am going to go ahead and mention that there's already three in the works. So I've discussed the fact that in February we'll be going into Transforming Life. We'll be offering the Tapping Into Your Intuition series, workshop series. It is a 12-part series that will be facilitated by myself. What this series is when we talk about tapping into your intuition, what I'm going to do leading up to the series in February is I'm going to take the next few weeks, starting next week, to actually go into the concept of what it means to tap into your intuition. So we'll begin to discuss that in depth, and you'll understand that the workshop is vital to each and every one of us, because not until we're able to tap into our own intuition are we able to pursue our soul work. Are we able to walk in our purpose into our destiny? And a lot of us don't know what our intuition is, and many of us don't know how to tap into the intuition. Many of us don't know how to tell our ego from our intuition, our conscious mind from our subconscious mind. And we don't know that we have the power to control every thought that we think. You see, that every thought that we think, we don't necessarily have to embrace. It does not have to become our truth. So, excuse me, and intuition helps us to determine and gives us steps and guidance towards our goals, our hopes, and dreams. And that is our connector to God, to the Creator, to the Spirit of God, to the mind of God. So next week we'll begin to just actually kind of set up the course. And what I mean by setting up the course, we'll discuss things like what intuition is, how we use intuition, why it is important, what is our soul work, what is our purpose, what are the benefits to tapping into your intuition. That's going to be exciting, okay? So we are going to start that next week, and we'll continue that as long as we need in order to actually have a firm understanding of intuition. And then the workshops will be offered in February. Right now I'm leaning towards the end of February. There will be small intimate workshops here in the Atlanta area. Right now I am limiting the workshop to 10 participants for each session. The sessions will be 1 hour per week. The location most likely will be in Duluth, Georgia. This is a 12-part series. However, each session stands alone, so you don't have to take all 12 sessions, nor do you have to pay for all 12 sessions. If you decide you just want one session, you can do that. That's no problem, because you'll still benefit from any of the sessions you take in regards to tapping into your intuition. A newsletter will be going out via Transforming Life Institute to all those who are free subscribers. So you do really need to get to Transforming Life Institute, the website, sign up to become at least a free subscriber to receive that newsletter in regards to registering and paying for your sessions. The payments will be through PayPal, and each course is only $10. That's the wonderful thing, okay? It costs less than 2 large cups of coffee at Starbucks, each course, okay? So that's going to be exciting. So next week we'll venture into that, what it means, you know, the behind the scenes kind of thing, what our intuition is, why it's important, why we should tap into it, what happens when we begin to tap into it, our soul work, our purpose, and our connection to God, our Creator, through our intuition. So we'll understand the importance of knowing how to actually connect with our intuition and follow through on our intuition. Now, so we've got that next week, starting next week. We've got the workshops, which are going to begin in February. The workshops will be live, as I said. Okay. So the courses that I'm doing on the air are free. The workshops that I will be facilitating in February are $10 per. Once those workshops begin, though, I do want to let you know that the classes that we will be having on the air during that time frame, once we finish this segment on intuition, the next series that I'm going to go into is going to be a series from based upon my first book, Tragic Treasures. So that's going to begin in February, Tragic Treasures. So if you don't have your copy now, be sure to go to my website, royaltreasurespublishing.com, order your autographed copy. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, wherever you want to go, iTunes even, order your hard copy from Books a Million, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you can actually download your ebook for Tragic Treasures. I believe you'll find it quite reasonable. I think autographed copies on my website at $10. I think they, I'm not quite sure what they're going for on Amazon and Books a Million and, you know, Barnes & Noble just yet. I know the Kindle, so the $10 for my website is for a print copy. If you want an ebook, I can tell you this. The ebook, I think, is on sale on Kindle for less than $5 right now. It's a little under $5 for Tragic Treasures. So get that, because February, what we're going to do is I am going to introduce a workshop, 12-part workshop, seminar, life class based upon my book, Tragic Treasures. That will be done on the air. It is free. All it requires is that you actually be able to follow along in the book, okay? Because those of you who have read my book or have the book, you know that each chapter has vital information that would help you to facilitate what you've read in that chapter. And we want to be able to do this. We're actually going to do the work. We're not just going to read it. We're going to do the work, okay? All right. So that's going to take us into at least another month or so. After that, we're going to start on Dancing with the Universe. So same thing. If you don't have your copy, you got a couple of months to get Dancing with the Universe. I encourage you to have Tragic Treasures by, I would say, have that by the first week of January, no later than the second week of, of February. So have Tragic Treasures by the second week of February, and then you'll have a while, you have a couple of months before you'll need to have Dancing with the Universe before we get into that one. Okay? So that's what's going on. And those are going to be free workshops. The only thing that won't be free will be the actual tapping into your intuition workshop that I will be facilitating live here in Atlanta. So I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I am very excited. Okay. I still have just a little bit of sniffles from the cold or the flu that I actually had. So forgive me for that if you hear me sniffing and things of that nature. Definitely forgive me. However, we're going to go ahead and move forward today. So, excuse me. I should have gotten some tea. Here's what I want to talk about briefly. So I'm taking up about 15 minutes talking about the things that are going to happen in 2015. I want to thank you for joining me in the chat room. I see that we do have someone in there. So thank you. Thank you so very much for joining me. You know, and I'm typing and saying at the same time, so can't you? You can tell that I was messing up with the typing, right? Because I kept stalling. Okay, great. All right. So I've gotten all of the announcements out of the way. What I actually want to talk about this morning is recently, I would say like yesterday, this morning or sometime, I posted something on my Facebook wall that I kind of felt like I really needed to go into a conversation in regards to it based upon some of the comments that I received. And I remember that I had a conversation with someone who I was dating a few years back in regards to the same topic. And I find that it's a topic that most of us don't address, but everyone has dealt with. Everyone has dealt with this issue. And this is an issue of really the bottom line is unforgiveness, but we'll take a different angle on it today. So I want to talk about what I call the elusive apology. And meaning the apology that many of us are waiting for from different people who have offended us that we will never get. In our behavior, in our life, and the things that we do, the choices we've made, are based upon the fact that we are waiting for the offender to apologize, or offenders, more than one, to apologize for things that were said and done to us. And we are stuck in that moment of offense, waiting. For most of us, we will never receive that apology. So when you're not going to receive the apology, for whatever reason, maybe the person doesn't feel like they owe you an apology, they have moved on, or they are even dead. So when you're not going to get an apology for having been wronged, what do you do? That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay? I'm really going to have to ask for your forgiveness because even as I talk, you know, I feel even more nasal congestion, and I feel the need to kind of sniff. So if you can hear that on the air, please accept my apology. So here's the quote that I posted on my Facebook wall. Of course, it was someone else's, not my own, so I'm not taking credit for the quote, but we're going to discuss the thought behind it. Life becomes easier when you learn to accept the apology you never got. Let me tell you what happened with me. Now, we're talking about intuition, too. Oh, I can't wait to get into the classes about intuition because you'll understand that when you start to tap into your intuition will reveal things to you about other people that you deal with, whether it's in intimate relationships or work relationships or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times the things that your intuition will reveal to you are not for you to share with the person, but it's to help you deal with that person. So the problem is that for most of us, when our intuition connects with God, with God's mind, with God's consciousness, with spirit, and things are revealed to us about other people that we couldn't possibly know, the problem is most of the times we think that it's been revealed to us for us to fix that person. Not true. So we handle the whole situation wrong because we go about trying to fix the person. We assume that what was revealed to us was solely for us to repair the breach, to fix it, or whatever the case may be. And most of the time, I would say sometimes that is it. Most of the times it is not. Most of the times, I have learned that I am more capable of helping, assisting others by simply loving them from where they are, right where they are. And if they are in such a place where I cannot extend my love to them, then I release them. You follow me? I'm not in a place or at a place in my life where I will ever force change or transformation upon anyone. I can't do that. I understand that's not my role, that I am not capable of that. Spirit can allow us to know things about people that help us in our dealing with them so that it teaches us and shows us how to go about loving them into who it is that God would have them to be. So then my role would be, intuition reveals to me something about someone that I care about, My role is not to use that against them. My role is not to use that in a way to try and force them to change. My role is to use that information in a way that would help me to better love them, which would in turn inspire them and motivate them and encourage them in their desire to transform. Does that make sense? I hope so. So know that Spirit will reveal things. So here's the deal. So a few years ago, I was dating this guy, a wonderful man. And we used to have conversations about relationships, past relationships, women and men and whatever. And I would hear him say things about women that allowed me to know that he was still very hurt by his past relationships. And I would say not women in general, but baby mama, for lack of a better term. So knowing that his children or his child, the one in that he was referring to, the baby mama, was a young adult, let me know just how long he had been holding on to that pain. Now, see, this is the thing about intuition. I'm not getting into that class yet, but I'm going to give you an example of that while I'm talking about this need to have an apology, okay? How life becomes easier when we learn to just accept the apology we never got. His child was a young adult, but he was still talking about the hurt he experienced in the relationship with the baby mama before his daughter was even born. Wow. So what does that tell us? So when we are in relationships and we begin to tap into our intuition and we begin to listen to what other people say, we can find out who they are, where they are, and who they are to become. And then we can use the information that we receive in regard to that to love them in their quest to become. Okay? So at that moment, when I heard him speak of these events that had taken place prior to his daughter's birth, and his daughter was now a young adult living on her own, I understood how deep his pain went. And the fact that really what hurt him the most is he had been wronged by his baby's mother. Okay, I'm great. I know I'm making it deep, but I got to tell it like this. He had been wronged by his baby's mother, but what pained him the most was the fact that she never apologized for the pain that she caused him. So now what was being dealt with all these years later, what was being held on to, was not the actual offense. You see? It was the fact that there was never an apology for the offense. She had moved on with her life, but she never apologized. So in that moment, this is what Spirit told me to do. Spirit didn't tell me to break it all down like this, so we didn't have no conversation like I'm having with you now. But this is what Spirit told me to do because I really sincerely cared about him. I loved him in a way until I was free enough with who I was in my sincerity to be with him and to help him move on and to help him heal. I said this, and I will never forget it. I said, allow me to apologize for every woman who ever hurt you and never apologized, even though they should. Now, yeah, I said that. Yes, I did. And I meant it when I said it. Excuse me. I meant it when I said it. I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Because I wanted him to be able to move past the fact that he didn't get an apology. It had been too many years. I'm like, God, it had to be like 18, 19, 20 years, baby. And you still are holding on to the fact that you didn't get an apology. Let me stand in as a surrogate for the woman or the women that have hurt you and allow me to say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I cannot tell you what happened as a result of that, but I am certain that based upon the conversations that we had after that, I'm certain that in some way helped him to shift his focus in regards to what it is that he felt he needed before he was able to move on. You see? So then he realized, okay, I may never get an apology. But now I must move on from that. I have to move on from the offense. I have to move on from the unforgiveness, the bitterness. Because really what will happen is this. If you are still stuck in the moment of offense where someone offended you, waiting for an apology that you never get, it leads to bitterness, it leads to unforgiveness, and it blocks you from really enjoying life. It stops your life, basically stalled at that point. You can go on and perform certain functions in life, but if we get into a conversation, and I mean people in general, and we could take you back to the point, you always go back to the point of offense. What I mean by that is that when you talk to people who have been hurt or offended and they never got an apology and they have not learned how to let it go, if you talk to them long enough, they will always go back to the moment of offense. I don't care how long it was. I don't care how far back they have to go. I don't care how old they were when it occurred. They could have been a children. It could have been mama. It could have been daddy. It could have been sister or brother or friend or coworker. It could have been, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20, 30, 40. You see? It could have been something that occurred when they were children, and now they are adults, and the offenders are long gone. The offenders have died. So when we understand that all things are lessons that God would have us learn. And no one said that better than Oprah, and that's the way she put it, and that's the way that I've always believed it to be. All things. So when we understand all experiences that we have, all relationships that we are involved in, all things are lessons that God, I'll say that God, that the universe would have us to learn. Then we understand that even when it's painful, even when it's hard, even when I'm hurt, even when you didn't handle it the best way, even when the person was wrong, even when they were nasty, then I understand, though, even though you hurt me, this is a lesson that I must learn. Then your apology would be welcomed, but I don't need it in order to move on. Here's the key. The key is getting to a place where we are consciously aware enough to understand that an apology now is not necessary for me to move on. If I am so offended, if I am hurt by someone who doesn't see fit to ever apologize to me or ever right the wrong, so to speak, we may never talk again. We may never fellowship again. We may never interact again. Don't get me wrong. I may not have anything to do with you, but I will release you from ever having to apologize to me because I understand it's bigger than you. And when we really get to a sense of understanding and we get to a conscious awareness, a new level, we might even be able to say thank you because we understand that that was a teacher. We may not be able to actually go to that person and tell them thank you ever, but we can actually go to God and say, okay, I thank you. That was painful. That hurt. I didn't understand why I had to go through that at first, but I thank you for the lesson. I got the lesson, and I'm a better person because of it, and I just want to say thank you. It may take years for us to get to the thank you. It may take years for us to even, you know, here's when you know that you need to release. When you need to release it. Think about if someone has hurt you, wronged you, offended you, you know, in any way cheated you or anything like that, and in the midst of that, if something comes up and you're reminded of the offense and it causes you to change your behavior towards a complete stranger, then you know you need to release it. And let me break that down, say that a different way. So I'll use an example, relationship-wise. If I am hurt in a relationship and the person who hurt me moves on and never apologizes, and I go into a new relationship and the new person does something to remind me, you know, there's some reminder of the hurt and pain. Not that they offended or they, you know, but if there's a reminder, then I immediately react to them based upon my past hurt. Oh, then I need to accept the apology I never got and move on. So a lot of us have those situations. As we go forward in this new year, just think about it. We used to call those buttons. You know, excuse me, it's about somebody pushing your buttons. And so we don't know what pushes each other's buttons. We don't know what situations or circumstances or offenses have occurred that push each other's buttons. But what happens is I come into your life or someone comes into your life and you have all of these things you're carrying from unforgiveness and bitterness from past hurts because you can't release them or won't release them because you feel as if the person never apologized or you were never vindicated or, you know, something like that. So you're just holding on to it. And I come along and I just say something in general that presses one of those buttons. And then we're hurt all over again. We go, and guess what? We're hurt because we go back and relive the experience of the first offense. That's what happens. When you're in a relationship, a perfect example of this is when we're in relationships as women. You know, oftentimes, I know when I was younger, I used to do this. My husband would say something to me. It hurt my feelings because it reminded me of something that happened to me before. And it reminded me of, you know, of some other time. So I would just cry. He would just say something or, you know, he'd just say something random. And I'd break out, start crying. And he'd be like, what are you crying for? Now, at that time, I didn't have the means to even explain to him what the tears were about. It took me years to realize that oftentimes when I was in a relationship, if someone pushed a button, you follow me? And I started to cry. Oftentimes it would be because what made me cry was actually the fact that I was holding on to past offenses that I had not released. And when they pushed that button, it caused me to relive or remember the previous offense. So that is one of the ways you can determine whether you actually are still waiting for an apology, whether you're waiting for the elusive apology. I know that's in a roundabout way, but put it like this. When someone says something to you and it hurts you in such a way to cause you emotional distress, and that person is not sure how they hurt you, then know that you're still holding on to the offense from someone else and that it's time for you to accept the apology you never got and let that go. So let me say that again. When someone hurts you, when you become hurt, offended, upset, mad, enraged, indifferent, you see, in tears, over something someone else does or says, and they have no idea how they offended you, why you're so hurt, why you're so upset, why you in tears, why you enraged, then most likely they just pushed a button and you are actually upset because you're still holding on to a previous offense. Because you never got an apology and you don't understand that you'll have to accept the apology you never got and just let it go. Now, how do you let it go? Let's talk about that for a little bit because I don't want to leave you just with a concept of, okay, accept the apology you never got, let it go, move on. How you let it go is what I've been talking about before. Understand that out of all of the people that you will meet in your lifetime, first of all, understand how short your lifetime is in comparison to this overall journey. Okay? I mean this lifetime, who you are at this very moment. 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, if you actually have really lived this one in such an excellent way that you would make it to 100 years. Is a small amount of time in comparison to the millions of years that this earth has been in existence. So, when you think about that, excuse me, I'm so sorry because I'm like sniff, 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 that it's not a lot of time, that the journey really isn't, you know, that long. The time that we have on this journey, we really actually have to get to a place where we understand what the journey is about. And we understand the interactions and we understand that it's a short journey and there's billions of people. So with it being a short journey and being billions of people, if whoever you meet in your lifetime, you were supposed to meet. There is no coincidence. If you meet me out of the billions of people that there are, then you were supposed to meet me. So when I understand that based upon who I am, the journey that I'm having, the others that I'm surrounded by, if I meet someone and I interact with them and there's any interaction between the two of us, that is divine coincidence, that was supposed to occur, that was not random chaos, then I understand whether it be experience that I define as good or bad, that it is a lesson for me to learn. When I get that, then what I spend my time searching for is a lesson. And once I understand what the lesson is, I embrace the lesson, I release the pain. And when I release the pain, that means I release the need for an apology and I walk in forgiveness. I release all bitterness, anger, and walk in forgiveness. That does not mean that I'll necessarily ever have anything to do with that individual again. But that does mean that I understand that we're all students in this life. And we're all teachers. Sometimes you're the student in a relationship. Sometimes you're the teacher. In the relationships that last a lifetime, both people understand that they are both students and teachers, and they're both willing to learn and teach each other. Oh, baby, that's it right there. That's it. You want to know how to have a relationship that lasts forever. Understand you're both students and teachers, and you're willing to teach and to learn from each other. We don't get that. We don't understand that. We don't get that. We don't receive that. Therefore, when one person is the student, the other person is the teacher. When one person is being the teacher, the other person is the student. And it works both ways. If you get into relationships where you're always the teacher, the relationship's not going to last. If you get into the relationship where you're always the student, the relationship's not going to last. It needs to be both ways. And we both need to understand that's what's going on. That it's about our evolution, it's about our expansion, it's about our transformation, it's about becoming. You see, it's about becoming who I am. So then if I understand that and I happen to be in a relationship, whether it's intimate or friendship or family or coworkers or complete strangers, if I have an experience or relationship where I am offended, where I am hurt, I am, you see, taken advantage of, then I understand that this person just did not know how to communicate the lesson. They didn't know their role as teacher or student in such a way not to hurt me, not to offend me. However, I still know that what I need to do is ultimately learn the lesson, release the pain, walk in forgiveness, and move on. And at some point in life, we get to a place where we can say, thank you, I got that. And the lesson, when we are really consciously aware, and understand the lesson is always positive. Some people are like, yeah, learn the lesson too. And the lesson is, I'll never trust anybody again. No, that's not the lesson. If that's the lesson that you receive, that's fear. That's still a button. You see, that's still unforgiveness. Because what happens is this. This is the deal. And I'm going to wrap this up here in a few because I don't want to be at the end of the show and still trying to get out a point. But here's how Spirit wants me to break it down. The lesson is not okay if I'm in a relationship and I get hurt. Now I learn not to trust. The lesson is if I'm in a relationship and I get hurt, now I know how to better identify those who may be capable of hurting me. Now I understand that how to identify those who may be in pain themselves. Now I understand the concept that if you don't love yourself, you can't love me. You see, so there are some lessons. There are no broad lessons like the lesson will not be something negative that says that I will never trust again, I'll never love again. If that's what you think the lesson is, then you're actually still walking in pain. But God, that's never God's intention. That's never the universe's intention. Now, the person that you're dealing with may have taught you other signs and symptoms of people, what people do when they are in pain, when they are hurt, when they are distrusting. And so then it helps you to better identify those signs. So then going forward, you don't say, I'll never love again, but you understand that when it comes to love, truly in order for love to be a two-way street, that the person that you meet has to love themselves. So now, before, when you may have been in a relationship, and I'm using this as an example, you thought that someone's abuse of themselves, their not caring about their self and just caring about you was cute. Okay, you know, let me just tell you thought someone spending all their time and focus on you and not spending any time and focus on themselves was love. Then it turned out to be possessiveness, and you thought, you know, somebody always wanting to know where you're at and what you're doing and wanted to be with you 24/7. It's cute, it's love, oh my God, he adores me, oh my God, she loves me. And next thing you know, you got a stalker or you got a domestic violence situation or something like that. So now the lesson is we understand that these are not These are not signs of love. Possessiveness is not signs of love. Neediness is not a sign of love. Not having your own life, not taking care of yourself, being all about someone else and not loving yourself is not a sign of love. So those are the types of lessons that we learn. So then we learn that we are to look for people who are in and of themselves as whole as they could possibly be. Not perfect, but whole. Now, that's one thing I heard Jane Fonda say on Masterclass a few years back when Oprah first did the Masterclass. I never forgot it. And she basically was saying that our, you know, the whole reason that we are here is not to be perfect, it's just to be whole. You see? And there's a difference between being perfect or trying to be perfect and trying to be whole. And whole means that my intention is to make sure that I love me, that I live the best life possible, that I love others, that I walk in my soul work, that I live out my purpose, that I do everything based upon a positive and loving intention. Because guess what? When my goal is to be whole, when my intention is to walk in love and power and sincerity and truth, then I don't do as much hurting other people in the process of the whole teacher-student thing. You follow me? And the pain that we cause when we walk at that level of consciousness, we are big enough people to actually apologize when we hurt other people, especially the people that we love. So then it does not create a scenario where a relationship ends and now someone's walking in pain because of an offense that they never received an apology from. Because that person who truly is walking in purpose and intention knows that when they do offend, it's not intentional. And if they have offended and they know about it, they truly would apologize. Because they don't want to leave an open wound in someone else, even if it's over, even if they're not going to be together forever, even if they, you see, even if this is the end, the consciously aware person understands not to leave a person open with, not to leave a person in pain, not to leave a person hurt, not to leave a person broken. The whole point that is that when we walk in that level of power and consciousness, we understand that we don't have to leave others looking for that elusive apology. We have not created a, you know, there is no prize in saying, okay, I'm going to leave this relationship, and when I get finished with you, you'll never be the same. You'll be broken. You'll be messed up. You'll be this. You'll be that. We don't do that. Those who truly, their intention is to walk in their highest possible self, excuse me, then they know that their goal is never to leave someone in a place where they are broken, where they're in pain. So going forward, do two things for me as I bring this show to a close. Accept the apology that you never got from those who have already offended and never apologized. Understand now that your power is not in saying, I'll never forgive you. I'll hold this grudge. You hold no power. There's no power in unforgiveness. Excuse me. Please forgive me for all that. There is no power in unforgiveness. None. Absolutely no power in unforgiveness. You hold no power over anyone, not even the person that wronged you in unforgiveness. You really don't. Because 9 times out of 10, there may be some situations where people are actually trying to apologize and we won't allow them to apologize because we think that we hold some type of power by not accepting an apology. No, not true. Let me help you with a few things. Let me leave you with this. First of all, here we go. If there is someone in your life who is attempting to apologize for an offense, allow them to apologize. Accept their apology and release them.
Okay, because then when you release them, you release yourself. Okay, now, and when I say accept their apology, I don't mean accept their friendship again or have a relationship with them or tell them it was okay or tell them they were right or tell them that, you know, all is well. I mean accept the apology based upon wherever they are and however they are able to give that apology. So there's some people that we think that we hold in power over them by not accepting the apology. No, actually you're holding yourself in a stalled and stuck space by not accepting that apology. Accept the apology from those who are trying to give it. Even if it's not, you know, you want to hear them say certain words, get over all of that. Allow people to apologize in the way that they can based upon who they are and where they're at. Some of us won't accept apologies because we want them to say this, say that, say out. You want them to say they was wrong. You want them to say they made a mistake. You want them to say you the best thing since sliced bread. You want them to say all this other kind of stuff. Forget all of that because that's really about you. That's not about the other person. Accept the apology based upon what it is that they can give based upon where they're at. Accept it and move on. For those who have not apologized and you're waiting for the apology, let that go. Learn to accept the apology you never got and move on. And then going forward, ask people, as you interact with people, and if you are offended, if you are hurt, if you're in pain, then be sure to get the lesson. Release the people from having to apologize if they don't apologize. Don't try and work folk into a place of apology. Some of us, I'm going to tell you the truth before I let this go. I remember situations where I would maintain relationships with an ex or something like that. I'm going to use this as an example. And really it's because you want that person to get to a place where they can say, oh, they made a mistake. You was the best thing they ever had. Oh, they should have never left you. They so sorry. Let all that go. Excuse me. Let that go. The sooner you can let go your need to have them say how wrong they were, how bad they messed up, how much of a mistake they made, how good a person you were. See, when you can let that go and move on with your life and go ahead and live your life, then if that is a lesson God would have them to learn, they will learn that lesson without you thinking that you are holding something over their head that will force them to learn that lesson. They'll learn that lesson as you move on with your life. So as we just come to an end of the show, I do want you to think about it. The elusive apology. Let it go. You know, I can't even begin to discuss offenses. I can't, you know, what I mean by that is that letting go the need to have an apology for something is one thing. Letting go the fact that half the things that we're offended by, we never should have been offended by in the first place, is a whole different show. When you really, really, really get to a place where you understand who it is that you are to become, the level that you are supposed to walk in, then half the stuff that people say and do, you won't even be offended by anymore. I'm just going to tell you the truth, especially in relationships. When you really get it, when you really wake up, you'll see the behavior and what my sister friend used to say, the pathology and others. Intuition will speak to you. The Spirit of God will reveal things to you about other people that you'll realize their behavior is not even about you. The stuff they say is not about you. The things that they do is not about you. See, and once we understand that really is not about me, you know, that coworker, the things that the coworker says is really not even about you. So when I get that it's not about me, then guess what? You can say what you want. Really, I'm not even paying you attention because I understand that you're dealing with a psychosis. You see? I understand that you're dealing with the fact that there were some lessons, there were some teachers in your life that you weren't willing to be the student at the moment. So you fought the lesson and you didn't get the lesson and you're still dealing with the psychosis. So the stuff that you say out your mouth, which is ratchet, you see, has everything to do with the level and the pathology that you deal with and who you are at this very moment, has very little to do with me. The problem is when we get into relationships and try to have relationships with people who are dealing with things, we think all their stuff is about us. That really is a very narcissistic, self-centered way of thinking because most of the time, baby, it's not about you. So this one is nasty. So that one is mean. So that one don't know how to talk to people. So this one try to talk to me a certain way. So that one, they don't even, it's not even really you. It's not about you at all. So I find that I get less and less offended by other people's foolishness because your foolishness reveals what you're dealing with and has nothing or very little to do with who I am as a person. And when I understand who I am as a person, then nothing that you say actually or do actually really offends me because, baby, your conversation, your language, your tone, your words cannot strip me, cannot change who it is that I am, who it is that I was created to be. You can give an apology if you want to. If you don't give an apology, it's not necessary because it does not diminish who I am in the least bit because you acted a fool. It just showed me the lessons that I needed to learn, that maybe that lesson is that I don't deal with you. But that does not stop me from dealing with others. That doesn't stop me from walking in love. That doesn't stop me from walking in forgiveness. That doesn't stop, you see? So it just teaches me a lesson that I need to know about you. So that's your, those your issues, boo. All right? So that's how we accept the apology we never got. Know that 9 times out of 10, the issues weren't even about you. And even the people that have a tendency to try and make it about you, you know, it's still their issues. All right? So next week, join me. It's going to be all that and a bag of chips. Next Sunday, I'm going to keep it right here. Next Sunday at 11 a.m., we're going to go into detail in regards to intuition and set this whole workshop up. We're going to do that. I'm excited to just engage in conversation in regards to you in this topic, in this matter. I did my master thesis on intuition, so this should be very interesting how I, you know, but I hope you'll join me for it next week. And I wish you this week coming, I hope that you have a wonderful week, that you walk in a new level of understanding, and I'll see you next week. Bye.